A lot of people spend their lives worrying about tomorrow. Will I have enough money to put in the bank for my retirement? Will my health be good enough to enjoy the latter days of my life? Will I be able to find a different job, making more money? Will I be able to find the perfect man or woman for my life? They all are wrapped up in so much in tomorrow that they cannot enjoy today because they fear of what the future may bring. In Psalm 23, that we've all know so well, in verse 6, David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So why do we worry? At some point in time, we all have worried about something. But why? What do we gain by worrying? For today, we want to look closely into why people worry. How we can overcome worry. And what the scriptures say about worry. First of all, let's identify what worrying is. From Mount's complete expository dictionary of the Old and New Testament words shows that worry is an unhealthy and unproductive part of life. The sermon title today will be Facing the Future Through Faith in Jesus Christ. One of the things that can hinder our spiritual growth as well as physical health is worrying. Worrying is a natural thing for most people in life today. We don't know how long Jesus Christ and God the Father thought about creation of man and all the bodily organs that are put in place for the body to function properly. But what we do know is that the physical body is well put together. And the good news is God gave instruction to mankind on how to take care of our spiritual bodies. Now, you know, God does not want us to be sick. That's just not a part of God's wishes at all. In fact, if you have read in the scriptures, and even going back to Deuteronomy chapter 14, and let's turn there now, Deuteronomy chapter 14, because God wanted us to be healthy, He gives us through the scriptures the things that we should do because we have to realize that we are created in the image of God. So God didn't want you to be sickly and having a lot of health problems. So I'm just going to read these two verses here because it was just a command that God has given of the things we should eat, and there's plenty of information on this. But in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." And then verse 3, "You shall not eat any distasteful thing." So God is concerned about what we eat, how we take care of our bodies, and it goes on further, if you go into the book of Proverbs, you can see where it's written up even about your sleep. There are many things in life that can bring harm to our bodies. I would like to quote from UK Natural Therapies website, article titled, How Does Wearing Affect Your Health? A quote, worry is your body's response to a stressful situation which you usually deal with. Fight or flight response. Not all situations, however, can be addressed by fighting or fleeing. When unresolved worry lingers, what may start as a problem in your mind may soon wreak havoc in your body. People react to situations differently. So what may trigger worry for one may not be the same for the next person. Nevertheless, the effects of worry on the body appear to be the same for all. Worry and heart disease. A recent study shows that there is a high correlation between worry and incidence of coronary heart disease. This may be due to your body's natural reaction to stress, as it releases hormones like arylene and cortisol into your bloodstream. When your body carries a load of stress hormones, your heart rate increases. Your blood may become thicker. You breathe heavily, and you perspire some more. And some people, particularly men, coronary worry has preceded a stroke or heart attack. Worry and your immune system. You may notice that at one point or another that you may have succumbed to the flu while you were going through a stressful time in your life. Worry, stresses, and anxiety can weaken your immune system and make you prone to infections and sickness. When your body releases stress hormones, your immune system reacts by sending out white blood cells to your skin or lymph nodes. This compromises your immune system and leaves the other parts of your body open to attack by microorganisms like viruses, allergies, and bacteria. Worry and your digestive system. Stress hormones can also trigger muscle tension as a defense mechanism against a physical attack. While not all stressful situations involve physical threats, the body does not make this distinction and reacts by tensing up just the same. The tense may reach all the way to your stomach and can lead your stomach ulcers and bouts to diarrhea and constipation. Worry and your nervous system. Prolonged periods of worry can also take its toll on your mind. Those who repeatedly worry about an issue may eventually develop depression. This may be the results of high levels of stress hormones interfering with the release of serotonin, a brain chemical responsible for feelings of well-being. Sleep may also escape you as you focus your mental energies on a problem all day and night. You may also find it difficult to concentrate on the activities if you worry about one thing all the time, unquote. These are just a few of the things that take place in our bodies when we worry. Do you realize, brethren, that God does not want you to worry? And as we go through this sermon today, you will see what the scriptures say about and why. Over a span of a lifetime, we can remember countless hours that were spent worrying about things you really had no control over. And when we look back, we can see that those hours spent in worrying are hours in time that we can never replace. As I said before, it's a common thing for most people to worry because we are human. But the truth of the matter is, worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. Worrying won't help you solve a problem or bring about a solution. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. I'll just read this so you don't have to turn there, but you can make a note. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So worrying is the opposite of trusting God. The energy that we spend worrying can be put to much better use in prayer. So here's a little formula that we can place in our notes to remember. Worrying replaced by prayer equals trust. Because when we keep our eyes focused on God, we remember His love for us, and we realize we truly have nothing to worry about. God has a wonderful plan in place for each one of us here today. Even in the most difficult times, brethren, when it seems as though God doesn't hear our prayers, we can be assured that God will take care of every need that we have. Let's notice what Christ said about worrying. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We will begin reading in verse 25, Matthew chapter 6. Christ said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which one of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So Christ is telling us here in these verses, just don't worry. I know that's easier said than done. We all worry. I've worried, and you have too. But there are many other facts that comes to mind when we begin to deal with worry. The worry which wears on our mind wears on our bodies along with it. Worrying affects our judgment, lessens our power to reason, to make the right decision, and renders us progressively incapable of dealing properly with life. But when we look closely at worrying, we can clearly see that it can rob us from the history of the past and cause us to be blinded to the present and the future. Remembering what Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 26, Christ said, "Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." So those that look at the record in their life and what God has done for them in the past will never worry about the future. Worry refused to learn the lesson of life. We are still alive, and our heads are still above water. And yet, brethren, if someone had told you that what you have actually gone through with through the past years, you would say it was impossible. But yet, the lesson of life is that somehow you have been able to bear the unbearable and do the undoable and to pass the breaking point and not break. The lesson of life, brethren, is that we worry is unnecessary. And this is why God inspired Solomon to write in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." So when we face the future through Jesus Christ, all of our worries should be left behind. The Epistle of James reminds us that the view of the future that omits God is foolish and proud. So if we turn to James chapter 4, James chapter 4, begin reading in verse 13. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears at a little time and then vanish away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that." Many years ago, and I know that you can remember the same thing, it was common to hear people say, "If the Lord's will." We used to hear that a lot. But today, mankind is not dependent on God for anything, but on their wealth and abilities, not giving God credit for anything. But this is not what the scripture teaches. God is very much in charge of whether we live or whether we die. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We begin reading in verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a rich man yield plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater ones, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So the parable here, Christ tells this story of in the form of a rich man, a foolish man, who made all of his plans for the future. The lesson here is he did not include God in his plans. So in Proverbs chapter 27, Proverbs chapter 27, in verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. So our attitude should be that of Apostle Peter, always desiring to do God's will. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. We will read verse 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So we must be careful not to entertain a state of impatience. Peter said, cast all your care upon God, because he cares for you. But when we worry and entertains the thought of worrying in our minds, another emotion tends to tag along with it, and that is impatience. A lot of people often grow impatient by worrying that life will not turn out the way it should for them. So they just worry and they worry and they worry. The main key to less worry or no worry at all is faith. That is the key. So when we have serious problems and troubles that come upon us in our life, what do we do? Do we worry about those things or do we seek God? Start to worry and become depressed, or do we seek the comfort and answers that lies by consulting God? Let's notice an example of this in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Since we don't live in a trouble-free world, we must all realize that trouble comes to all of us in life at some point in time. How should we handle these problems? Because there are situations in life that can really upset us. But what must we do? So let's consider a serious incident that happened to a great ruler is recorded in 2 Chronicles. The ruler is Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Beginning begin reading in verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others were with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Zahazron, Tamar, which is Edom, Credas." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God, our Father, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our afflictions, and you will hear and save." Verse 10. "And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possessions which you have given to us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Now all Judah, with the little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came to Jehoshaphat, the son of Zechariah, and he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed," and we can say wary here, "because if this great multitude for the battle is not yours, but God's." So we see here, brethren, all the trouble that we have, all the worries that we can encounter, I'm saying that we need to concentrate on all of these things. It's not ours. It's God fights our battles for us. So if we read the remainder of this chapter, we can see what we're saying here. Those are encouraging words even for us today. God will fight our battles means God will be there to help us when bad things come upon us in life, when it seems as though a situation is hopeless or a matter of hand is too overwhelming. we may be tempted during these times to doubt God, which we should not. We must remember as God's people that no problem, no situation, nothing is beyond the scope of God because he cares for his people. Let's notice Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, it's just a matter, brethren, of putting our trust in God. He said he will take care of us. And I believe that. Sometimes things seem as though he does not hear us, but he does. And sometimes delays are for a reason, that we build strength, confidence, patience, all those things go along with that. But God hears our prayers. Now let's return to the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And notice the reaction, this great problem that confronted the king. Things were going quite well for him. He made mistakes sometimes, as we all do. But he loved and obeyed God. He always was loyal to God as well. And if you want to, you know, read more about this, you can go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and read through there. But in his state of rulership, when these nations came upon him, it seemed to be that there was trouble. Two countries, which were the king's neighbors, sent their armies to attack Judah. This was the land where King Jehoshaphat ruled. It was a complete surprise that this happened all of a sudden. He was not prepared for this at all. But what was his reaction to all this sudden trouble that was coming upon him? And here is this situation, we learn the real lesson. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah. So here is a good point to remember. He prayed hard, knowing that worry was not going to deliver Judah from this trouble. So it is to his prayer. In verse 6, middle way of the verse, that he says, in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. So all of our being, with all of our being, brethren, we must put complete 100% trust in God. Another point to remember is when we face trouble, do not let worry, anxiety, control your thoughts, but look to God. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Verse 9. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. So what he's saying is just go back and like we mentioned a few minutes ago, that you can look back and see all the things and the trials and tests that you have come, and you can say, you know, I don't know how I got through it. But it's the same thing here. We put our trust in God, you know, and look to what he has done for us in the past. He will continue to do that. The things that God has done for his people, deliver them from all types of situations. Psalm 20, verse 6 and 7. Psalm 20. You see what David wrote here in Psalm 20. Verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointing. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our name of the Lord our God. So God is God and he is able, period. No matter what the prevailing conditions are, God can still deliver us. No matter what the situation is, God can deliver us. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So it goes beyond, you know, our puny thoughts of what God can do. It's beyond that. It's showing that God can do everything. Before we begin to worry about something, brethren, in all of our trouble, we must remember that God rules. He is in control. He knows our present difficult situation. We saw how Jehoshaphat found help. He remembered a sure fact that God is in control. So we must learn to completely trust in all things, to trust in God in all things. And when we worry and fret over things in this life, it shows a lack of trust that we have in God. There are four main reasons not to worry that we should always remember. And you can search the scriptures and do a Bible study on each one of these. The first one is, as we mentioned before, worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. Worrying brings about a lack of trust. It destroys the patience that you have. It creates doubt in your mind and causes you to waste valuable time. And it can destroy your health. Number two, worrying, as we mentioned in the beginning, is not healthy. When we take care of our bodies, it glorifies God. You are taking care of the temple of God. So that is something that we need to keep in mind. You are showing others how God wants you to be in good health. You are being an example. As was mentioned in the sermonette, a light to shine, a shining light. You know, you be an example. Number three, worrying is the opposite of trusting God. Worrying takes away the time that could be spent in prayer and Bible study. And again, I give you this little formula. Worry replaced by prayer equals trust. Number four, worrying puts your focus in the wrong direction. When we keep our eyes focused on God, we remember His love for us, and we realize we truly have nothing to worry about. God has a wonderful plan for each one of us here today. And that plan is, brethren, taking care of us. It's just a part of His plan. And when it seems as though God does not hear us, we can put our trust in the Lord and focused on His kingdom. Don't worry about ourselves. God will take care of our every need. When facing the future in faith, through Jesus Christ, we should plant this thought in our minds. It's not what the future holds, but who holds the future. Brethren, let's not worry. God is here with us, and He will take care of us.